नमो तस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। नमो तस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। नमो तस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। इतिपीसो भगवा अरहं सम्मा संबुन्दो विंजा चरण संपन्नो सुगतो लोकविदु अनुत्तरो पुरिसधम्मसारथि सत्ता देवमनुषानां बुधो भगवा ति स्वाखातो भगवता धम्मो संदीथिको अकालिको एहिपास्सिको औपनयिको पच्चत्तं वेदितंबो विनुहि तिय सुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो उजुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो न्यायपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो सामीचिपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो यदिदं चतारि पुरिसयुगानि अट्ठपुरिसपुगला एसे भगवतो सावकसंगो आहुनेयो पाहुनेयो दक्षिणेयो अञ्जलिकरणीयो अनुत्तरं पुण्यक्षेतं लोकसा तेवं बुद्धं सरन्थानं धम्मं संगं च भिक्खवो भयं वा चम्बितात्तं वा लोमहंसो नहे सती ती।老和尚决定，我就讲英文。So I will speak in English. Is there anyone who does not understand English? Please raise your hand. So because this monk has been invited to guide a one-day retreat on Saturday, so I will talk about Anapanasati, which I thought is the most beneficial meditation object which can be used for beginners or for advanced practitioners, which can be used for an intensive retreat, which can be used in daily life. So today I will speak briefly, because we don't have much time, about the essence and advantages of this meditation, Anapanasati. The Anapanasati meditation is in the Buddhist tradition considered to be the meditation which the Buddha himself has practiced under the Bodhi tree and after his enlightenment. So at least it is said in the Samyutta Nikaya, in Anapana Samyutta. After his enlightenment, he still continued to use this meditation object, so to say, till his last breath. So it was his most popular meditation with the Lord Buddha himself and with his disciples as well. <laughs> 不好意思，拜谢拜谢。 So it is said in our Buddhist tradition that when Lord Buddha decided to stay under the Bodhi tree till he has accomplished perfect supreme enlightenment, he was not sure about the direction his meditation is going to take. As we know, he has been practicing 6 years, or less, little less than 6 years, five years, or 5.5 years, we do not know exactly. The austere asceticism, which did not bring him to the desired aim. So then, sitting under the Bodhi tree, taking the determination not to leave the place till he has accomplished his desired aim, he suddenly remembered when he was a child, maybe 6 years old. Ah, you yao jia zhong wen. How? Zhao min lao de yi zhao nin de yi si. Yao jia yi xie zhong wen. Zhi shi shi jian xiang you wen ti, ha? Shi jian xiang you wen ti. Yin ru guo shi yong liang zhong wen, ying wen na bian qian bang ge zhong dou. 英文半个钟头，中文那讲不完。那我用英文，我用英文，那然后归纳用中文几句话，哈，这样好。哈，长老同意。So the Lord Buddha remembered under the jambu tree under which he was resting while his father was plowing the field during the plowing festival. According to the Indian custom, the king had to plow the field first, then the farmers would start the plowing. This custom is even now, in some places in India, the leader of the village starts plowing, and after that, the others will plow. So, at that time, while he was waiting under the jambu tree for his father to finish the job of plowing, he, because he had nothing special to do, spontaneously he concentrated at the process of in-breath and out-breath and entered the first absorption, the first jhana on anapanasati. That is the experience he remembered under the Bodhi tree, then used the learned, used the jhana mastery, which he has been also, according to the Upaklesa Sutta, I have heard the Masi told me that you have been taking classes in the suttas with Bhikshu Bodhi, and she has requested me to use some the suttas, so I will use it. According to the Upaklesa Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, I was told that you have been learning Majjhima Nikaya. Under the Bodhi tree, after entering the jhana, he has then purified his jhana and purified his so-called Padaka Jhana, the proximate jhana for the supernatural powers, and then used the supernatural powers for seeing his past lives, for seeing how we beings are born and die in accordance with our karma, with our deeds. Then, after that, he has practiced the vipassana in the jhanas, using also supernatural powers, and finally attained the supreme enlightenment and entered the Nirodha Vedaita, the Sanya Vedaita Nirodha Samapati, the highest samadhi in our Buddhist tradition. So Anapanasati in Buddhism is, no matter whether northern tradition or southern tradition, is considered to be the, so to say, the, among all the Buddhist practices, the pure wisdom practice, as it is called in the Abhidharma Kosha. Vasubandhu calls it the pure wisdom practice. And why it is pure wisdom practice, I will now explain briefly. It is important to understand. The according to Buddhism, the fact that we breathe is due to the function of our bodies and mind. When the mind and bodies, when the mind and body are together, this is expressed by the act of breathing. The breathing is what, so to say, keeps us alive. So the basis of act of in-breath and out-breath is both body and mind. And no matter whether we are aware of this fact or not, the condition of our body and our mind is directly reflected on the condition of our mind. This is very easily seen when, suppose we run very fast, the quality of our breath will change. It is very easy to find out, but most of us do not pay attention to the fact that when our mind changes, especially our emotions change, this also is directly reflected on the quality of our breath. So, as far as Buddhism is concerned, all that we experience in this world is only the corporeality and materiality. And the corporeality and mentality, nama rupa. According to Buddhism, that is everything we can know in this world. Everything we can touch is corporeality and mentality. These two extended become the five aggregates of existence, become the 12 spheres of perception, become the 18 elements of perception. Briefly speaking, it is everything we can experience. And the meditation on breath is as we have said, because breath is based on both on our body and the mind, whether we are aware of it or not aware of it. So the breath, in a way, is a direct expression of the way how we experience the world, how we live. When we experience the world with wisdom, the quality of our breath will change. When we experience the world without wisdom, also the quality of the breath will change. So in this regard, the observation of the breath becomes pure wisdom. Because by observing the breath, we are observing also the condition of our body and of our mind, and thereby the whole, so to say, of our experience in this world. To add few informations about this understanding, according to the Buddhist philosophy also, the breath, in-breath and out-breath, which is anapana, is what is called in Buddhism the mind-created corporeality, the citta-ja-rupa, the mind-created material form, or however we rupa translate, because rupa is just rupa. We have no word in English to translate the term. It is translated as, I think, Bhikshu Bodhi translated as material form, but even that is not quite exact translation.
英文再讲中文，好不好？不好意思，因为如果讲中文的话，没有办法讲完。只有一个小时，对不对？那我讲一个小时，再用中文归纳我的意思。大概10分钟、15分钟中文。 拜谢拜谢。 Okay, so citta ja rupa. So ja means born, and citta means mind. So it is a rupa born of mind. According to the Buddhist philosophy, what are the other rupas born of mind? Our bodily gesture is also rupa born of mind. That means how we move our body, what gestures we made, how we move our body, is also the direct expression for the wise people. Not for all, how we use our minds. You will, the wise man and the non-wise man, they walk, they behave in a different way because they use different mind to move their body. This body cannot move by itself. This body is like a puppet. There has to be mind in order that the body can move. And this body can move because the mind is producing this mind-created rupa kalapas, rupa molecules, in which the wind element penetrates through the whole body and moves those parts of the body that we need to move because we turn, direct our mind to these places. Now another mind-created rupa is our speech. How we speak, whether we are aware of it or not, is also the direct expression of how we use, how we are using our mind. So these three, the bodily gestures, the which is called kaya vigyapti, which means bodily manifestation, then vachi vigyapti, the speech manifestation, and in-breath and out-breath. These are the rupas created by the mind, which inform us. Vigyapti means information, which informs us incessantly about the condition of our mind. When the condition of our mind changes, our speech, our bodily movements, and also our quality of breath will change. In case of the speech and the bodily actions, the direct insight into the way how we use our mind is not so subtle. But in the case of breath, the direct insight into the fact, into the way how we use our mind, can become very, very subtle. Why? As the Visuddhimagga explains, the more subtle our minds becomes, the more subtle our breath. So, also when we practice the meditation on breath, the how subtle our breath becomes depends on the wisdom. With which, the quality of wisdom with which we are observing our minds. That is reason why this meditation on breath is called the meditation of pure wisdom, Amala Pragya. So the as Abhidharma Kosha explains, Jishurun, the meditation on breath in the Buddhist tradition differs from the other traditions in the way that the meditator on breath, he does should not use his will to control the breath. He should not use his will to manipulate the breath. He should use the pure wisdom of observation, anupassana. Anupassana is another word for wisdom. It is a synonym of sampajanya. By pure observation, anupassana we can translate as pure observation, the meditator will understand the quality of how the quality of his rupa, that is his mind created rupa, his in-breath and out-breath, interact with the mind itself, which creates a rupa. So this is the key to understanding the very sublime nature of this meditation. The Buddha himself praises his meditation as being Santa Panita Asachenaka. It means it is peaceful, it is superior, and it is non-mixed. That means non-mixed, if it is done with pure wisdom, it is non-mixed by the impure influences. That means the when observation becomes pure, it becomes pure wisdom. When we do not force the breath, it is the expression of also of our ability to engage in pure observation. So the this meditation is called Anapana Sati or Anapana Smriti. It means that by the pure act of recollecting the breath, we can attain the wisdom of understanding our mentality and corporeality, which is the whole of our experience in this world, and what is most important, their interaction. The interaction, understanding of the interaction between the mind and corporeality is the main part, so to say, the main aspect of the wisdom of dependent origination. And as far as Buddhism is concerned, the only way to liberation is the way of understanding dependent origination. There is no other way. Now, what is the characteristic of the Anapana Sati? Sati is explained in the Abhidhamma as the characteristic of Sati is Agamane Apilapana. It means not flowing away from the desired object, not letting the mind float away from the desired object. Compared, if the mind has no this faculty of sati, of smriti, of mindfulness, then it floats like, it is said in Abhidhamma, like a dry pumpkin on a stream. Wherever, whatever object comes, it will float to that object. Whatever object becomes clear to the six senses, the mind will float there, unless it has this power of mindfulness. So, because it has power of mindfulness, then comes the clear memory of the desired object. So, the manifestation of our ability to use mindfulness is, to use sati, is our ability to stay with the desired object. The Abhidharma Kosha calls it the samstute vastuni asampramosha, the ability not to forget the desired object. Samstute means literally the object which is highly regarded by us. So, according to the Abhidhamma, Theravada Abhidhamma, the smriti, the faculty of mindfulness, belongs to each and every moment of the wholesome cognition. There cannot be any wholesome cognition without the ability of mind to stay with the desired object. It is explained in the Abhidhamma that the mindfulness is like a treasurer of a king who informs the king how much money he has in his treasure, how many weapons, how many good things he has, how many clothes, and so on. And in accordance with this information, then the king will decide his policy. Similarly, when this ability of the mind to articulate, to use the Abhidhamma, Vyakya Abhidhamma, Kosha commentary, the ability to articulate the object, then makes it possible for the mind then to accomplish wholesome cognition. Without the ability of the articulation of the desired object, the mind will never be able to accomplish wholesome cognition, because it is always like a dry pumpkin floating on the water. Wherever the stream comes, it will float there, completely out of control. This is called the monkey mind. Very wonderful. Very wonderful word, monkey mind. So the monkey mind is the, according to Buddhism, is the source of all the troubles, is the monkey mind. And the source of all the inner joy is the mind with this faculty of interpreting or articulating the convenient object to the mind. When this convenient object is articulated to the mind, then the mind will adopt the proper policy, which is the wholesome cognition. And wholesome cognition is the only way to happiness as far as Buddhism is concerned. So, Visuddhimagga explains that this pure observation of breath happens when the meditator recollects the good qualities, like the king recollects how much money, how much weapons he has, and decide the policy. Similarly, the mind, by recollecting the good qualities in watching the breath, will then develop the subtlety of breath and subtlety of mind. The only the subtle mind can observe the subtle breath. This is a secret of the meditation on breath. The gross mind can only observe gross breath. We need a subtle mind to observe the subtle breath. So the how we observe our breath is directly expressed by the quality of our breath, and how the mind recollect the virtues will be directly reflected on the quality of the breath. So according to this principle, the what is the first friend, necessary friend for creating a subtle mind and subtle world, rupa. The first great friend of all the wholesome things is effort. Unless one has effort, one will never accomplish anything wholesome in this world. So, what it means, if one makes an effort to stay with the desired object, to articulate, as I have said, the desired object to the mind, as a result of this continuous effort, when the effort becomes continuous, so Visuddhimagga Visuddhimagga explains, as a result of this continuous effort to articulate the in-breath and out-breath to the mind, not to let the touching point of in-breath and out-breath be lost, not to allow that any other object except in-breath and out-breath becomes more clear, so that the mind does not go anywhere else. If one consistently develops this quality of effort to stay with the desired object and to articulate this desired object to the mind, as a result of this effort, one will notice, if the effort is continuous and successful, how now this mind, which has been exercising continually effort to stay with the in-breath and out-breath, how this mind becomes more subtle than before, when it was not developing effort to stay with the desired object, how this mind becomes more subtle, and as a result of it also the breath becomes more subtle. Then what happens next? This continuous effort to stay with the object will be awarded by inner peace and happiness. Why are we deprived of our inner peace and happiness? Because our mind is a monkey mind, running from one object to another. In order that the mind finds peace and happiness in itself, it has to stay connected with the desired suitable object. Otherwise, the monkey mind, mind running from one object to another, depends on what object comes as prominent in front of the six senses, that mind can never bring us happiness. Only the mind which stays due to the continuous effort with the same desired object can bring us happiness. So as a result of continuous effort, which will lead to more subtle mind and more subtle breath, one, the meditator will experience happiness, inner happiness, inner fulfillment. Now, due to this inner happiness, inner fulfillment, his mind will not have any more tendencies to go outside. Why? Because what we beings are, all our activities, what is the aim of our activities? Searching for happiness, nothing else. All these many continuous activities are just for one aim, to attain happiness. But because we are deluded about the real meaning of happiness, so we do not get inner peace. Now, when the inner peace is, when the inner happiness is achieved, then the mind loses interest in running from one object into another. It is deeply inspired to stay with the desired object because it is fulfilled by it. The mind is running from one object into another because it is not fulfilled. When it is fulfilled with the desired object, it will not have any more tendency to run from one object into another. So, as a result of this inner peace and happiness which the yogi experiences by putting in continuous effort, he will be able to notice that when this when this happiness, inner peace, fulfillment has continuity, that now when this happiness becomes prominent, his mind becomes more subtle, and his breath also that he observes becomes more subtle before, when this happiness had no continuity, no prominence. So, this is the next step to in the process of sublimation of mind and breath, sublimation of corporeality and materiality. Corporeality and mentality, which is all we experience in this world. Now, if the yogi further develops the wisdom of pure observation, he will find out that if he gets excited about this happiness and that he experiences, then his happiness will have no continuity. Then follows the higher stage of sublimation of breath and mind, sublimation of the experience, our experience of nama and rupa. That means the equanimity. When the meditator becomes equanimous in regard to this more subtle breath, more subtle mind, more subtle happiness, more subtle concentration, this which is then accompanied by the appearance of the subtle image of the breath. If the yogi finds wisdom to detach from these advantages of more advanced concentration, then he will be able to attain still more subtle mind and more subtle breath, and he will be able then to enter into the samadhi, into the proximate and full, into the upachara and apana samadhi of in-breath and out-breath, and experience a continuous bliss of the mind absorption. Now, in many scriptures, like the students of Majjhima Nikaya will know, like Bahu Vedaniya Sutta, the Buddha explains the way to liberation as the way to experiencing more and more subtle happiness. If one experiences the more subtle happiness of the approximate samadhi, it is very likely that he will become disinterested in the happiness of the five senses, because this mental happiness is much more subtle than all the joys we can experience by the five senses. Then when he experiences the happiness of the first absorption, and Buddha is teaching in many, many suttas that the yogi should completely saturate his body and mind with his happiness of the absorption of the jhana in order to detach from the sensual happiness. One can only detach from the more gross happiness when one saturates himself with more subtle happiness. This is the way to liberation, to experiencing always more and more subtle kind of happiness. So, experiencing, as Bahu Vedaniya Sutta explains, experiencing the happiness, more subtle happiness of the first jhana, the meditator will detach more from the happiness which he experiences by the five senses. And similarly, when he experiences the happiness of the second jhana, it is said in the scriptures that the yogi should saturate his body and mind with the happiness of the first jhana, like a bath master using the nahana chuna, using the bath powder to wrap all his body. So similarly, the yogi should completely saturate his mind and body with the subtle happiness of the first jhana. Then when he has experienced the happiness of the second jhana, which he should experience, in which he should plunge like into the mountain lake, fully immersing his body in it, then it is very likely he will get detached from the happiness of the first jhana, which is inferior to that, because it is less due to the presence of the applied and sustained thought, it is less subtle. Then the happiness of the third absorption is even more subtle than the happiness of the second absorption. So the meditator should immerge in it, just like a lotus fully emerges into the water and is fully penetrated by the water. So the meditator should experience the happiness of the more subtle happiness of the third jhana, and so on. It continues, Bahuvedaniya Sutta explains. The more and more subtle happiness of the formless spheres of absorption till the most subtle happiness of liberation. This is how the happy way to liberation is explained, by experiencing more and more subtle states of mind and mental objects. Now, because of the time shortage, and Lao He Shang wants me to speak in Chinese, so I will summarize in Chinese. 现在我用我所讲的意思，我用简单的中文归纳，好不好？ 那我刚才讲什么？我有说明那个星期六，在这个地方，他们邀请我办那个一天长修。我建议我用那个阿那巴念，教。 你们阿那巴念，因为阿那巴念这个修行，在佛教里面，不管是南传佛教、北传佛教一样，算这个业处，业处叫修行的所缘，是最微细的，它的关系跟智慧是最密。 密切的，为什么？因为依照我们佛教的阿毗达姆，这个如是初心是新造的，新造的色叫做，不管。 我们注意还是不注意这个道理，我们的呼吸的品质，不断的让我们了解我们的心的情况，不但心的情况，因为呼吸的益处有两个，也是一个是身体，如果身体的情况改变，马上。 如果我们注意到，马上可以了解这个变化在我们的呼吸的品质。如果我们的心，特别我们的感觉改变，也可以直接从我们的呼吸可以了解这个变化，因为这个呼吸就是心神的事。 心神的事法，刚才我也有说明，除了呼吸以外，还有两个心神的事法，就是身表。身表的意思就是我们怎么用我们的身体。 也是表示怎么我们用我们的心，因身体自己不能够动，身体是好像一个傀儡，一样，它不会自己动，它只能够动，因为里面有心。怎么我们动我们的身体，让我们了解怎么，不但我们。 也别的众生，这么他们用他们的身体，动他们的身体，让我们直接了解这么他们用他们的心。除了身表以外，还有口表，我们的语言，这么我们讲话也是表示这么我们用我们的心，跟呼吸一样，对不对？所以呼吸、语言跟怎么我们用我们的身体，那些三个法，让我们直接了解我们的心的情况。不过如果我们要用修行的方法，那观呼吸是它的这个跟智慧的关系是最密切，因为刚才我有说明，怎么我们观我们的呼吸，也决定我们的呼吸的品质。如果我们用智慧观我们的呼吸，我们的呼吸不一样；不用智慧观我们的呼吸，也我们的呼吸不一样。所以，居士论说这个阿那巴念这个法门是，智慧清净，阿玛拉巴吉亚，意思是修行人他不像以前印度以前，他不能够用意志控制他的呼吸，他只要靠智慧，就是随观阿努巴萨那了解呼吸。如果他能够用智慧，那他就能够用同一个所缘，就是如吸出吸，来成就知跟观的过程，不需要改变所缘。同一个所缘，我们能够用来彻底的学知跟观的过程。如果我们了解知观，那知观的智慧里面所有的波罗蜜都有，因呢，智观是波罗蜜王，所以好像大乘起信论特别强调在修行的过程，那个知跟观包括在里面所有的其他的波罗蜜。那怎么修行人观呼吸，怎么他接触他的呼吸，因依照佛教我们的智慧是靠怎么我们接触我们的境界。阿毗达摩是讲 Ye dhamma nyataba te dhamma fusitaba. 我们所知道的境界，所能够知道的境界，都是我们所能够接触的境界，不能够接触的境界，我们不能够了解。哎，怎么我们接触我们的呼吸，决定？ 我们的呼吸的品质，所以我们能够直接看到我们的定，我们的定跟我们的知离在呼吸这个所缘上，因也维系的。 定跟智慧，我们用观呼吸，也维系变成我们的境界，就是如是出息。那阿那般念的修行是特别强调身念处的修行。 身念处的最重要的方面是了解司法跟民法的互相的关系。如果民法改变，司法也会改变；如果司法改变，民法也会改变。哎，这个过程，修行人。 能够直接感到在观呼吸的过程，那来让我们了解这个道理。清净道论是说明，如果修行人用精进，用努力观。 他的如是出息，结果，如果他的努力是不断的，如果他练习不断的，能够这样用真言，仅仅用真言观他的呼吸，结果，一段时间以后，如果他的努力是不断的，他能够感到怎么？因为这个仅仅的仅仅离。 精进根，他的现在因他能够用这种努力，他的境界就是他的如是出息，他的身体，他的心变成比以前，他还没有用这种不断的努力在念如是出息，比那个时候。 他的境界，他的命法、事法维系得多。结果，如果他能够这样继续用功，他因这个努力，不断的努力，他能够感到内快乐。 心安，因他能够感到这种内快乐，所以他的心没有倾向跑到外面去，他就留在里面。为什么？刚才我有说明，因我们众生忙碌在做什么，在求快乐，因。 找不到快乐，所以我们保从一个境界到别的境界，不断的改变我们的境界。如果能够感到，因为真念能够感到真的内快乐，内快乐的经验变成明显，那心就没有倾向跑到外面，他就满意在自己。结果。 修行人在这个情况下，能够直接感到他的 呼吸跟他的观呼吸的心比以前变成微细的多，因为有这个内静安、内快乐。结果，如果他的修行的智慧增加，他会知道，如果他欢喜这个内快乐，他的心会变成不稳定，所以他舍这个有定的心，舍这个微细的呼吸、微细的境界，舍这个这个快乐，因为他能够舍他的境界、他的心跟他的心的所缘，所以他能够感到更微细的呼吸、更微细的心、更微细的感觉、更微细的想，所以他能够学怎么如常定。如常定以后，他能够学怎么如实观。如果他能够学怎么如实观，那他就能够学依照巴胡维达尼亚苏达，我有说明马吉曼尼嘎呀，他就从低的快乐升到越来越微细的快乐，一直到最微细的快乐，就是解脱快乐，比这个快乐没有更微细的快乐。这个就是阿那巴念的修行的目标。因佛说明那个阿那巴念的修行为解脱的，为解脱圆满。如果阿那巴念变成知跟观的修行，那它就变成解脱圆满。我就星期六会加一些别的说明哈。今天大概到这里为止，因为时间上8到8:30，是不是 because of the time limitation I will stop here. I was told that I should leave some time for questions and answers. So till 8:30 you do usually, huh? 对不对？到8:30，老和尚，8:30结束。10 minutes more. So.I will stop here with my English and Chinese brief explanation. I will have a chance to talk more and explain more on Saturday. And connect it with the practical side. Now only the theoretical. The practical side is a necessary accompaniment because...all these informations make no sense unless you experience them in your own laboratory, and your only laboratory is your own body and mind, no other laboratory in this world. So I hope you can all use your own laboratory to experience the wisdom of the pure observation of breath.Which we will practice on Saturday. Right? So, any questions? If no questions, then I will explain a little bit more. No one has questions? Where is Marcy? No question. Yes.
How many levels of the, what is the highest level? Because everything has a number.
Highest level of what? Of the pure observation of breath? The pure observation?
Happiness, bliss, nirvana.
The highest level is liberation, nirvana, of course. Pardon?
While we still are in the physical?
No, I don't understand.
While we are still in our bodies?
Yeah, sure. Nirvana is while you're still in your body, for sure. If your mind has no greed, no hate, no ignorance, then you are living in the nirvana while in this body and mind still. Nirvana is only pure mind, which is not interrupted. That is nirvana. Everybody who is practicing Buddhism, no matter how he explains what way, and not, is only practicing due to that aim, no other aim for Buddhist practice. The only pure mind. Vipassana. I am teaching on Saturday, I am teaching the Samadhi. Because you cannot practice deep Vipassana without Samadhi. So I am specially emphasizing the practice of Samadhi. I may mention how to use it for practicing Vipassana, but if you want to practice Vipassana on breath, you have to analyze the four elements in the breath and go into the four element meditation. That is a base for the Vipassana. And what I will teach is the Samatha part, which is observation of just in breath and out breath. The real breath are the four elements. And if your concentration is very good, the breath will disintegrate into the molecules. Then you can, this is the beginning of the Vipassana practice. If you do a detailed Vipassana, then you will have to analyze the constituent parts of the molecules. No more questions.
Sometimes when concentrate and feeling the body's sensation with our mind, some of those sensations, how do we tell those are not created by our mind? I believe the term is called like delusional or illusion. How do we prevent that from happening?
What do you mean? The sensations are illusion. If you understand Buddhism, the whole this world is illusion. Illusion is not a bad thing if you use wisdom to see it.
I don't have that wisdom to tell.
So why don't you learn Samatha and Vipassana? That is for that. Then the only way is the wisdom. No other way. And the wisdom comes from concentration. Without concentration, wisdom will never become clear. Only the concentrated mind can see things as they really are. So, why don't you come to practice concentration, get some good experience in concentration, then you can do vipassana. Then you will see that what is illusion. No more questions. So we will dedicate merit for the benefit of all sentient beings. I will recite shortly in Pali. Akasatta chabumattha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chabumattha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu desanang. Akasatta chabumattha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu tumamparang. Sabitiyo vivajantu sabarogo vinasatu mate bhavatvantarayo sukhi dighayuko bhava bhavatu sabamangalang rakhantu sabadevata sababudhanubhaven sabadhammanubhaven sabasanganubhaven sada soti bhavantu te devo vasatu kalene sasa sampati hetucha pito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. So thank you very much. Lao Hei Sang, Tuo Xie, Tuo Xie.